Hello and welcome to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a not-for-profit 30-minute weekly audio podcast primarily for and by amateur astronomers in the UK. Available only online, AT UK is a virtual meeting point for the amateur astronomy community. Each episode is an MP3 file which can be downloaded automatically with a free subscription via one of the many podcast readers. I use iTunes. My name is Gurbir Singh, and I host AT UK. I am not a scientist, nor am I an astronomer. Topics of discussion have no fixed boundaries other than their relevance to amateur astronomy. Each week's episode consists of pre-recorded conversations with individuals discussing the roles, lives, and achievements of amateur astronomers and their hobby. More about AT UK at www.astrotalkuk.org. If you have a topic for discussion, drop me a note on info@astrotalkuk.org. AstroTalk UK, amateur astronomy, expert opinion. Episode 19, Sunday, June the 8th, 2008. Astronomy Online. There are many ways to participate in and learn about astronomy online. AstroTalk UK is a minor one amongst many. There are numerous other far better astronomy blogs, and I hope to speak to some of those bloggers in a future episode. In today's episode, three examples of how the web is being used to share resources and build communities around science, space, and astronomy. I suspect you will be familiar with some or all three: sciencefile.org, space.co.uk, and fedastro.org.uk. Many astronomical societies are preparing, or perhaps have already completed, a program of speakers for the 2008/2009 season. If you are a member, I would encourage you to exploit one, or better still, all three resources featured in today's episode to advertise your society events. You will be surprised at the visitors who may turn up. A former secretary of South East Essex Astronomical Society, now as the administrator of sciencefile.org, Andy Briggs describes what ScienceFile is all about.
ScienceFile.org is a science reference site where we bring together lots of science reference material from all spheres of science, from all over the internet. And we have, for example, an extensive science website directory. We have 330 science news feeds for keeping up to date with the very, very latest in science. Members also write their own articles about an area of science which interests them for publication on the site. We have a science events calendar, science forums, everything science, basically.
You have an association with astronomy with South East Essex AS a long time ago.
Yes, that's right. I was a member and then later secretary of South East Essex AS. This would be 20 years ago now. Unfortunately, the society is now folded in the late 90s, I think. But I was associated with them for a few years and enjoyed every moment, of course.
Now, I must say, you are the second individual I've been speaking to on the basis of AstroTalk UK, and you're not in the UK. Where are you at the moment?
I live in Spain. I've been in Spain for 5 years now. I lived in London for 12 years. I lived in Wales for a long time before that, but I'm originally from Essex. Sorry. I'm enjoying the clear, dark skies of Catalonia now, and believe me, they are very clear and very dark.
Well, there's a lot of people listening to this, including me, who'd be quite envious. Which aspects of astronomy interest you?
I must admit, I used to do a lot more observing than I do now, what with other commitments. But as I said, you know, I try and get out under the clear, dark skies whenever I have the time. But really, I'm interested in every aspect, from astronomy to astrophysics to cosmology, obviously space exploration, anything to do with the universe, really, I'm intensely interested in and have been since I was about 4 years old.
How did sciencefile.org start?
Well, sciencefile.org, believe it or not, has its roots as a community in the old science and nature message boards on the BBC. We had a community there. Well, I joined the science and nature boards there maybe about 6-7 years ago, if not longer. And we had a very, very good community for discussing all aspects of science. And then the BBC decided to make some disastrous changes to their message boards and eventually killed them all together. So I started my own forums to give our community that had been together for so long discussing science a new home to go to. But it became quite apparent that we could do so much more because, for example, people were constantly posting addresses of science websites that they'd seen. So I said we should have these in a database somewhere. And gradually it became obvious that we could actually bring all of these reference materials for science together into one site. So I came up with the idea of ScienceFile, which, as I said, exists as a reference site. So if you have any interest in any sphere of science, there will be something there to interest you.
And I understand anybody, perhaps from an astronomical society, can post events that may be taking place within their society on sciencefile.org.
That's quite correct. If, for example, you're secretary of an astronomical society and you wish to publicise your events, you can add them to the science events calendar there. If you also want to write something about your society, write up of your society to let people know what you're all about and what you're doing, we would welcome that with open arms, and you can have that published on the site. And so, you know, I'd very much like to encourage the amateur astronomical societies in the UK to get involved.
And I know you also have an area where you have book reviews, and I found that quite useful. How do you fund sciencefile.org?
It's funded mainly from donations from members, and there is no subscription fee or anything like that that you have to pay. All you have to do is to register to have your material on the site. Lots of stuff on the site you don't have to register for, but there are very, very useful features on there that we would like people to register to gain access to. So really, I'd like to thank all of the members of ScienceFile for making their donations, which allow us to keep the whole thing going.
And I notice also you have these sessions where the members of ScienceFile.org actually can communicate at the same time wherever they are through chat.
Yes, that's right. I think it's very important if you are trying to build any sort of community on the web to have somewhere where people can get together and have a chinwag and discuss things, you know, not necessarily related to science, of course, but just to get to know each other and just to keep the whole sense of community together, really. So we have regular chat sessions and, you know, any member is welcome to come along and join in, and we just talk about whatever pops up, really.
And finally, Andy, what's your day job and how do you fit this in with sciencefile.org?
Well, that's a very good question. I work in IT, and I have a full-time job doing that in Barcelona. Finding time to keep the site up to date with everything that I need to do from an editorial point of view can be quite hard. But I do my best to keep everything up to date as soon as I possibly can.
To me, it comes across very much as an example of something that has been established by an enthusiast and is maintained by the enthusiasm of all its members. Andy Briggs from sciencefile.org, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much for having me, Gurvin.
Space.co.uk is a multimedia-rich resource jointly founded and managed by space enthusiasts Paul McDonnell and Martin Turner. Earlier this week, Martin explained the motivation and goal of space.co.uk.
Space.co.uk is a website. It's been running for several months now, and the goal of the website is to help to raise the profile of UK-specific activity around space. And space, obviously, is a very broad term, but really across the range of space science, astronomy, human space flight, we're targeting a fairly broad range, taking a focus on the UK perspective.
So how was it founded? Is it your idea? How many other people are involved?
It was founded by myself and a colleague of mine, Paul, who shares my interest and enthusiasm for space. It's something that, you know, I guess if we think about the origins of the site, we are both long-time enthusiasts around space. I wouldn't say that we have a particular interest in any area. It's a broad interest. Recognizing that we are both creators and consumers of the website, we have really set out to provide a resource that is or can be used by a whole range of people, but very much with the general public in mind. So we don't want to create something that is purely for the academic audience or for industry or for specialists. We would very much like to be useful and to engage those communities as well, but again, also to reach out to the general public who perhaps, again, haven't got the time to really dive into any one area, have a general interest, or perhaps even aren't aware they have an interest until they've had a chance to see some of the great things that are going on. And I think also, you know, we're all familiar with NASA and the European Space Agency, but the UK also has a rich legacy of accomplishments around space, very successful programs with early rockets, obviously a great deal of great things going on at our universities. The private enterprise, things like Virgin Galactic, are obviously quite current and very exciting.
If somebody who hasn't been to space.com.uk visits the site, what sort of resources are they likely to come across there?
We've obviously got things like news. We are looking through on a regular basis and identifying relevant news stories, again, with a UK focus, but also, you know, reaching beyond to international items of interest. So we have what we call our data bank, which contains various resources such as links to websites, online resources, things like DVD and book recommendations. TV listings is a good example of something that we've captured on the site. And you might wonder, well, what does that mean, TV listings? And one of the things that we found in the past is that we would often say to each other or hear from other people, did you see that great show about such and such? And often the answer was, well, no. One of the things that we're doing is we're looking forward in the TV listings to identify items of interest that our general UK space community may wish to watch. An example like the Great Universe series that was on the National Geographic Channel. We're also putting a great deal of focus on videos at the moment and interviews. This is something that we largely started with a visit we made to the UK Space Conference earlier this year. I know that you were at the UK Space Conference and had a chance to enjoy with us some of the great discussions and presentations. And we are very keen to make those available beyond the Space Conference, as well as interview some of the notable figures. Videos is something else that is a big theme with us, and we're continuing to work on adding to that content. We've also started getting transcripts made of all of our content.
Is there a cost associated with accessing the resources on space.co.uk?
Absolutely not. Really, again, we are looking at this from the perspective of being both creators and consumers, and we are very keen to see the space.co.uk audience really grow into a community. You know, going back briefly to the resources and talking about links to websites, for example, you know, there are a number of different websites and resources already available. You might even ask the question, you know, do we need space.co.uk in addition to that? And I think that where we can fill a gap is in helping to bring some of those different websites and communities together under one umbrella. And if somebody has a general interest, they're perhaps not quite sure what they're interested in. They just know that space is something that sounds interesting. They'd like to find out more about things happening in the UK. Then they can go to the website and access links to other websites and other resources. And again, there's no cost associated with doing that.
And what's your personal interest in space, or specifically astronomy?
My personal interest, one of again, being an enthusiast, it's something that since an early age, I've always followed with great interest any of the stories or activities and events around space, and that would include You're watching the sky at night, and I'm one of those people that still, with every single launch, I've been following very closely the Phoenix landing, and I think much to my my wife's surprise, I was staying up until the early hours of the morning so I could experience that firsthand and follow those events as they unfolded. So it's really a case of being an enthusiast. I'm generally inspired and interested in a whole range of topics, and that's where we hope that space.co.uk can help to fill some of those gaps, both for ourselves as consumers of the information that we're bringing together, as well as, of course, the visitors to space.co.uk.
Do you have a telescope? Are you a member of a local astronomical society?
I do have a telescope. I'm not a member of a society, and the telescope is something that had the opportunity to do with as much as I would like. Certainly, I have my children are very keen, and with the eclipse some time back to pull the telescope out to get a better view of that. And yes, I have a telescope. Do I use it as much as I'd like? Absolutely not. But
welcome. We're all in the same boat there. Space.co.uk is not something you do full time.
No, that's right. By day, I actually work in the technology services sector. So I work for a large global company, and yes, that's very much my day job, with space.co.uk really being the extension of my hobby. At the moment, it gets squeezed in the evenings and the weekends, and also we've been fortunate that as we've been developing the site and developing relationships with a number of other passionate, enthusiastic people around the UK, that we are starting to see increasing contributions from them to the content on the site as well.
Approximately, I suppose this is going to be a guess, on a weekly basis, how many hours would you say you spend your hobby time on space.co.uk?
Okay. Well, I guess it depends whether my wife is listening when I answer that question. But as it's just you and me, I would say probably a good 10 to 15 hours a week. Really, that's something that will, you know, there's constraints on how much my time will grow there. But as the site grows and we bring other individuals on board to help us to build it out, you know, we will see the site continue to grow and grow. And I have to say, in the months since the site started, we've seen a very steady increase in the number of users and visitors of the site, which has been very gratifying, and we expect that to continue.
Is there anything specific in terms of astronomy that we can look forward to on space.co.uk?
Actually, yes, there's one thing that's very timely that I can share with you, and we were very fortunate to have the opportunity to spend some time with Sir Patrick Moore, and that was just yesterday, and had an opportunity to interview him at his home to actually get his feedback on the various telescopes he has, and I have to tell you that's really something to see when you visit him and see his telescopes and his garden, and in particular hear his views on astronomy and some of the contributions that equipment in his garden has made, even going back to Apollo and some of the mapping of the moon. Was very inspiring. We will be completing the editing and pulling that content together, and then that will be published on the website as a video interview.
Martin Turner, one of the founders of space.co.uk, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
If you are a member of an astronomical society, then you are bound to have come across the Federation of Astronomical Societies already. The fedastro.org.uk website offers a rich source of information specifically for astronomical societies, including links to all 174 member societies, an online diary and events calendar too. Here's a tip. If you are holidaying in the UK this summer and want to visit some observatories en route, click on the observatories link. In addition to opening times, you can get contact details and set up a visit before you head off. I asked their secretary, Samuel George, what the Federation was all about.
organisation for quite a number of the UK astronomical societies. There's about 170 affiliate societies in the UK, and we were formed in 1974, so we haven't been around for too long, but we're fairly established now.
Now, I know the fedastro.org website, that's pretty much my connection with it. Besides that online presence, do you have anything else on perhaps a regular meeting somewhere?
Yeah, so a combination of things, really. We produce an annual handbook, which I know quite a few people have used to arrange their speakers for the year, something like that. It's not as large as it used to be, unfortunately. We used to have yearly articles in there, but due to costs, etc., we don't quite have that now. We also have free newsletters a year, which try focusing on bringing Astronomical Society's news to a lot wider audience. Hopefully people then can go, oh, they did a great event, like whatever, mm-hmm. You have some form of start party, we can do that. We also have an annual convention, which doubles up as our AGM, which takes place every autumn, and this year it's going to be at Cambridge, and it's going to have quite a range of speakers, and probably better to go to our website, fedastro.org.uk, for more information about that.
And on that website, I see you've got lots of facilities, again, for people who have not been there. So I personally find very useful the events and diary. How often do you keep that updated?
The idea behind that is we get the societies to put their own events on there, uh-huh. or any individual who's got running some form of astronomical event, so if you've got one that you want to put in there yourself, by all means put that on there. And we basically run a moderation service just to make sure that, you know, by Viagra here link doesn't get included. we try and maintain it ourselves as well, and add as many events as we see on there, and it gets published to the whole FAS mailing list every month.
If somebody wants to be a member, join the Federation, how do they go about that?
Well, we do invite individual applications to become members, but realistically your local society is probably already a member, and so if you're a member of your local society, effectively you're already a member in a roundabout way. It's mainly aimed at individual societies more than the actual individual person.
I see.
But we're always welcome to hear off people and have their input.
Do individuals or societies have to pay for either membership or using the online facilities?
Well, the online facility is free for anyone to use, yeah? If anyone wants to put their event on there, we'll gladly include it, or read any of the documentation online. But yes, societies are paid up members, and it ranges in different costs for different societies, basically based on their size. So I guess it's a maximum of £45 currently. I should really have checked that number before I spoke. I think it's £45 for a large society, and it goes down. If I have got that number right, then it doesn't mean everyone's getting a discount. But and then there's a second cost that people want to get out. We get their main benefit from is the fact that we run the public liability insurance scheme, which societies pay, you know, pay us for, and we do all the administration for, and get a discount rate for them. Compared to what you would probably get if you went and tried to your own insurance quote. But that sounds a bit dull, really. It's not really about the astronomy there. That's more the administration side.
Yeah. Well, one thing, unlike the many science-astronomy-type websites, but I think yours is unique in that it's focusing primarily on astronomical societies in the UK. And the fact that you've been around for such a long time...
And the website itself, I guess, I don't know how long that's been up, but it's been through a few stages of evolution over the time, and I think we're now at a point where we can have interaction. You know, I'm sure 10 years ago or so, when the website, it was been a lot more static than it is now. Information now is, you know, freely available via the web, and some of our more traditional activities like the handbook, like the newsletter, you know, there's calls for us to make it more publicly available online.
And I certainly find it useful. In particular, you've got some links at the moment on the International Year of Astronomy next year.
Yeah. So we're, effectively on the steering group for the UK. Uh-huh. And so what we want to do is bring the astronomical societies involved. You know, we don't want just the professionals doing the stuff. We're the ones who know how to go out and observe whatever object. We know what's in the sky. We know how to explain it. We've got the telescopes, you know. We're the sort of a ground force that can go out there and bring the International Year of Astronomy to people. So we're hoping that as a sort of umbrella organisation, we can promote all astronomical societies in the UK to take action and actually run some form of star party.
You're the secretary. I can imagine you sitting in front of a typewriter and writing letters. But what exactly do you do under that role?
I guess it's a bit of a dog's body, to be honest. I do a bit of everything. But then again, so does all the council. There's about 10 of us or so on council, and we all mix and match our roles. I guess as secretary, my main job really is to keep in contact with societies and deal with general queries, you know, and sort of why is that public liability insurance this much, you know, what do we get for that? What events are going on in the UK? And it's surprising the amount of questions you get from the general public as well, asking, how do I go see this star? We just paid for its name. What? So I guess it's quite a range of topics.
But from a technical point of view, I understand you maintain this, the website as well?
Well, there's a core of us. So we've got a webmaster who does most of the actual code. But me, our webmaster again, and our chairperson, or president even, all three of us basically try and put as much input in as possible. I maintain the society diary effectively, but any one of us three can effectively do that.
And finally, Sam, you're an astronomer yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Amateur professional. Well,
but that is your day job?
Yeah, my day job is I'm a postgraduate research scientist at the University of Birmingham.
Right. And what aspects of astronomy are you involved in at the moment?
A range of topics, but mostly radio astronomy. Uh-huh. I've been using the Giant Meter Wave Radio Telescope in India, an aperture synthesis telescope, it's an interferometer basically, to look for radio emission from magnetic fields of extrasolar planets.
Is it something you go out there to do, or you do it remotely?
Yeah, I've been out to India twice to do this. Yeah. So thank you, UK taxpayers.
Well, thank you for the work you're doing. And maybe we can have a chat next time, focus on the astronomy that you're doing. In the meantime, Sam, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a non-profit project produced and recorded by Gurbir Singh. He nor any of the participants are paid for their contribution. AT UK's content is not validated against any authoritative source, and all the views and opinions are held by those who choose to express them. If you have a topic of interest you would like to discuss on AT UK, drop me a note, info@astrotalkuk.org.